The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus was passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter." The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
This is a New Testament that belonged to my sister, one of my sisters. And you can see when you look inside it that she took it very seriously, and she's written and underlined various things. That's in the book of Romans and so on. And various other parts in it, you can see that she's kind of put circles around things and underlined things and so on. My sister has not been to church for many, many years. She's not interested in Christianity at all. I don't think that's too unusual. And as I was thinking yesterday about the churches represented here at Grove Hill, I think nearly all of us have somebody, a sister or a brother, a son or a daughter, or some other relative, who's turned away from the Christian faith that they were taught and perhaps even at one time professed. How can we stop that happening to us? How can we stop ourselves doing what my sister has done? How can we stop ourselves doing what maybe other members of your family that come to mind have done? We find ourselves as believers today very often out of step with our society. Our work colleagues and our friends might see us as strange, and the pressure is there to not take Jesus so seriously, to turn away from him. Then we face kind of internal questions and difficulties and challenges, and they bother us, and we're tempted to kind of ease up on our faith and again to turn away from Jesus, back away from him. And then, of course, the enemy is always seeking to drain away our confidence in Jesus and fill us up with doubt about Jesus. He always wants to drain away our confidence and fill us up with doubt. So, and as we step into 2020, those three things, which we refer to as the kind of the world, the flesh and the devil, they will keep their pressure up. They're not going to go away. Those around us will still consider us strange. We will still have those internal battles. The enemy will still want to drain away our confidence. How will we keep going in 2020? How will we not end up as my sister has ended up? Well, perhaps our reading this morning will give us some help, some direction, as we see something of what it was that first drew the early Christians, the early disciples, to Jesus and caused them to stick with him through many difficulties. When we think about those early believers, they come, something draws them to Jesus, and apart from Judas, the other 11 stick with him through many ups and downs. What was it that attracted them to him? What was it that therefore kept them going through those ups and downs? So I've referred to this morning's message as simply holding on to Jesus in 2020. And three things that kind of struck me as I looked at this section of John's Gospel. Firstly, the fact is that they were struck by the fact that he knows them. He seems to know them even before they've met him. He's met them. Now, we all go through phases when we like to pretend to be when we're what we're not. I can think of times when I've done that over the years. But the people with whom we feel most at home and the people who can best help us are those who really know us. Jesus really knows us. He knows what's best for us. There's a Christian leader called Jim Packer, or J.I. Packer. And he tells a story about when he was a boy and he wanted his parents to buy him a bike. And he had his heart set on having a bike. Maybe some of his friends had got bikes by then. And he kind of pictured himself out riding in the streets and riding in the countryside. And as a birthday was approaching, top of the list was bike. And so you can imagine that he was somewhat disappointed when his parents gave him not a bike, but a typewriter. And then he says this, he says, looking back, he realized that his parents knew him better than he knew himself. And they knew that he had a terrible sense of balance and that he could well be a danger to himself as well as to other people on a bike. What about the typewriter? Did they get it right in giving him a typewriter? They did. He grew to love that typewriter. He went on to be the author of many books, and a good number of those were written on that typewriter. It's those who understand us who know not only our weaknesses, but also our potential. And one of the things that seems to have first struck the disciples here, and it's recorded by John in his gospel, isn't it, that Jesus knows them. He has this kind of insight into their past, into who they are. And that seems to have really struck them. So just towards the end of that reading, which Russell kindly gave us, Jesus sees Nathanael approaching and says, here is a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false. And Nathanael's struck by this assessment. He says, well, how do you know me? I saw you, says Jesus, while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And that seems that kind of insight that Jesus has into Nathanael, even just that little thing about where he was, strikes him. Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. It struck him. But we don't just find it there with Nathanael. We find it also with Simon, with Simon, when he first comes along, Simon, son of John, Jesus knows who he is and then says, you're going to be called Cephas, which translated is Peter or the rock. So it's not as though Jesus just knows what's happened in the past. He knows these people so well. He knows what their potential is. He knows what he has planned for them in the future. Now, there were times, weren't there, when Peter was a bit more like jelly than he was like granite. But in the end, Peter does become a rock-solid foundation stone in the church. He has a purpose He has a role, and Jesus could see that even when he first meets him. So Jesus doesn't know just our past, he knows our potential. He knows our future, even our long-term future. The lesson for us this morning is this. Jesus has a purpose for us. He has a role for us to play. He hasn't finished with us yet, even with the oldest of us here. Now, I think that's one great reason for us to hold on to Jesus in 2020, because he's not finished with us yet. He has a purpose for us. He has a role for us. He knows us. He knows our weakness, but he also knows our potential and what he can do with us. Now, that may be true not only for us as individuals this morning, but we should also take that as something which is true of us as a fellowship. He knows our weakness, but he also knows our potential, what he can do with us as a fellowship. So let's just think about some of the things coming up in the life of Grove Hill as we step into 2020. Andrew, our current assistant, will be coming to the end of his time with us, and we'll be looking for a new assistant. We might want a bike. He might send us a typewriter. But we can trust him as we step into 2020. There are other decisions to be made about different aspects of church life. Some of those decisions are quite big ones. We can come confidently to our Lord in prayer because he knows us. He knows our weaknesses, what we're not good for. But he knows what we are good for, what our potential will be. And there's some of the things that you'll notice that we're going to pick up on the week of prayer. And as again, I just encourage you to come along to some of those slots so that we can be praying with confidence in the name of the Lord Jesus, who knows us and knows our potential, what he can do with us. So let's hold on into 2020. Hold on to Jesus because he knows us. Second thing I think that strikes the disciples here and should strike us as well, is he wants us to know him. He knows us, and he wants us to know him. Now, there's a saying, isn't there, about amongst experts from almost any field, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. The more you understand an area, the more you're aware of your areas of ignorance in that area. I remember watching a video once made by an American Pentecostal pastor. And the video was just full of different names and titles of Jesus. And this man is just kind of reciting these and just speaking them as the words come up on the screen, various images and so on. And I think it went on for about 4 minutes, and the whole thing was gripping. And you could sense the joy and the delight in the man's voice as he repeated these great descriptions as they came up on the screen. But I remember being really kind of emotionally choked up at one particular point, about three quarters of the way through this video, after he's repeated dozens of these names and titles, he says this, "I wish I could tell you about him." It's almost as if in spite of all that he said and all those distant descriptions, he hadn't even begun to tell of the glories of Jesus. So look, hold on to Jesus in 2020, because he wants you to know him, and there's much, much more to know. Just think about some of the titles that we get here in this reading this morning. You might want to just go back to verse 35. John the Baptist says, "Look, the Lamb of God." Great title about the Lord Jesus. Andrew and his friend spend some time learning something about Jesus, so that Andrew then goes to his brother and says, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." Then a bit later on, Philip says, "Look, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then after Nathanael's encounter with Jesus, he says, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel." Great list of titles coming up here, but at the end of the passage, it's almost as if Jesus says to him, you haven't seen anything yet. You shall see greater things than these. I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I don't know how you're feeling about 2020. I don't know whether those pressures of folk around you are hotting up, whether you're confused in your thinking, whether you're struggling with spiritual issues, whether all that's becoming more and more of a problem for you. You may feel at the moment like stepping back from your commitment to Jesus and his people, retiring into a kind of a numb spiritual limbo. This passage would urge you to hold on. He has more that he wants you to know. Much, much more. So in 2020, we need to keep coming back to God's word, to these kind of titles, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one about whom Moses wrote and about whom the prophets also wrote, the King of Israel, the Son of God, the one who, as it were, through whom heaven opens and over whom the angels ascend and descend, the one who is very the house of God where heaven and earth meet. Keep coming back to God's word to learn more and more and more about the Lord Jesus. You might want to picture the Bible a bit like an everlasting Advent calendar with new truths behind every door. A new year is a great opportunity if your reading of the scriptures day by day has fallen by the wayside. If regularly coming to the Bible, wanting to understand more of God's love for you and Jesus, if that's kind of slipped off of your weekly schedule, what a great opportunity to put it back on this Wednesday, the 1st of January. A new year. Much, much more that Jesus wants you to know about him. A great reason to keep holding on to him in 2020. And finally, keep going. Holding on to Jesus in 2020 because he wants us to know him, but also to make him known. To make him known. Somebody wrote this. It is of the nature of Christian experience that those who enjoy it, however partially, desire to share it with others. It is of the nature of Christian experience that those who enjoy it, however partially, desire to share it with others. Now, again, that was certainly true, wasn't it, of these early disciples here. So as soon as Andrew has finished his time with Jesus, he goes to find his brother. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Again, with Philip, as soon as he's been called by the Lord Jesus to follow him, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the son of Joseph." And even though he gets a kind of a cold response, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" he doesn't give up. He simply says, "Well, look, you make your own mind up. Come and see." That's a great reminder, isn't it, of the essence of evangelism there. We're simply saying to those around us, come and see. Come and see what you make of the Lord Jesus. In many ways, that's what we've been doing as a church over Christmas, isn't it? Come and see. Come and learn about his birth. That's what we do week by week, isn't it? We say, come and see. Learn about his life. That's what we're doing this morning as we gather around these elements. Come and see, learn about his death. Come and see, learn about his resurrection. See his church, his people. Come to see something of his victory. Come to see something of his promise, of his return and what he wants to do with our world in the future. Come and see. Now, I wonder whether you can think of people around you this morning that need to do that. Can you think of people who need to come and see Jesus? I know I can. What does that say? It says there's still work to do. There's still work to do in 2020. So those reasons why the disciples seem to be drawn to him and stick with him, and there were things that, if you think about it, kind of just developed and grew over the whole of their experience with Jesus. All the time they're kind of realizing he knows them. All the time they're realizing he wants them to know him. All the time they're realizing they want to make him known. It's what's helped them to stick with Christ. That sense of potential. He's got a job for me to do. That sense of promise, there's so much more for me to learn. That sense of need, there's so many more who should come and see Jesus. It kept them going through many difficult ups and downs. Can keep us going as well. I wonder if we could just kind of pause for a moment and reflect on that. And just let me just make this further point this morning, because look, if you don't want to end up like my sister has ended up, turning away from the things of Christ, make sure you're involved. Make sure you've got that sense that Jesus knows you and has a role for you to do. Make sure you've got a purpose in his church. Once that starts to go, once you start to say, I have no role here, I have no job, I have no place here, Jesus isn't interested in doing anything with me. Once that starts to go, it's very often a sign that we're wandering away from him. Make sure you're continuing to learn about him through the scriptures, through the fellowship groups of the church, through the preaching of the church. Because again, when that starts to go, when we're not reading the scriptures and we're not learning, it's a sign that we're fading away. Make sure that some interest in sharing the good news of Jesus to those around, saying, come and see, is there in your life. That you're contributing in some way to the evangelism of the fellowship, or in your own life, you're just thinking about ways that you can share Jesus with others. Because if that starts to go, it's a sign that things are growing cold and wandering away. Reasons to keep going in 2020. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses, but he knows our potential. He wants us to know him, and there's so much more to know. And he wants us to make him known.